Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Wednesday. I swear we just keep getting post-Christmas gifts. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. It is a pleasure to be here today. I was so lucky. I had coffee with a comedian yesterday. I had lunch with a friend of mine who's a great reporter yesterday. The stories I could tell. I was on the phone with executives yesterday regarding Sean Payton.
Look at you, Colin.
I was doing journalism, as you know, as a co-journalist. We had a story break in our last hour yesterday, Joy
yes.
Taylor, about Sean Payton. And, you know, when stories break, you and I are kind of ad-libbing it, and we thought Raiders and the Cowboys, that was our initial take, is, boy, that would be good fits.
Yeah, but you got to dig deeper and get the real story.
That's what we do here. Notepad with us all day. So I did think the Cowboys and the Raiders, because of Derek Carr and Dak, would be a really good fit. And then I got off the air and made a bunch of calls, and here's what I was told with Sean Payton. It's TV1, TV2, and TV3. Now, he may do part-time TV, meaning he takes a month off, he goes to Cabo with his beautiful new wife, he does some, you know, a little here, a little there. He may not go all in, but football is not his primary interest. I was told by two different sources he is burned out, and I'll get to that in a second. But yesterday, Sean held a press conference. He looked good. He actually looked pretty rested for a guy that's burned out. And at the end of this, he was very open. He talked a little bit about the TV thing.
I don't know what's next. And look, I read the reports and I understand. I've not spoken to anyone from a media outlet relative to doing television or radio. Maybe that opportunity arises, but every time I read something that says, like, he's in line for this job, I'll call my agent, Don, and I'll say, Don, did you hear something? Because I had not heard anything. And that's okay. I think I'd like to do that. I think I'd be pretty good at it.
He would. And so I am told TV is first, second, and third. It may be all in TV. And the reason Sean Payton would work on TV, in my opinion, 75% of the people, ex-jocks and coaches doing this stuff, are fine. They're not special. I think Greg Olson is, wow, good. Romo popped very quickly. You know, I have a fondness for Aikman. I've known Troy for years. You got to sometimes be critical of people, and a lot of ex-coaches and jocks won't be. And also, Sean, I don't know him well, but I know many people who do. He is really intense. He burns hot, and he goes all in on stuff. So if Sean's all in, and he would go all in on broadcasting, because he's a very competitive guy, he was an athletic guy, he's going to go all in on it. He'd be good at it. He'd be good day one. I mean, Romo was good day one. But I think the more interesting thing is this. Two things have happened. Coaching in the NFL. Two things have happened. Number one, every owner in the NFL now is a billionaire. Okay, these franchises now, the biggest money in the world is all on sports franchises. That's why people are shocked Jeff Bezos of Amazon hasn't bought a franchise yet. Nobody knows where to put their money, the uber wealthy in the world. Sports teams is one of the, Stan Kroenke of the Rams, one of the richest people in America. Stadiums and teams is where a lot of rich people are putting their money. Because you don't know what the market's going to do. You don't know about instability. You don't know about leadership. You don't know about terrorism. You don't know. There's a lot of things that could tank the market, tank the housing market. But you know the Boston Red Sox are playing at Fenway in 20 years, and Liverpool's going to be playing over in England, and you know the Packers are going to be in Green Bay if they had an owner, and the Cowboys are going to be in Dallas. So these global wealth has exploded. The half of 1% has separated from even other rich people. They're billionaires. They write $75 million checks. They make that in an hour. The ownership in the NFL is so bloody rich. Everything's a rounding error. They'll just fire you very quickly. And also, the richer people get, the more delusional they get, and the more impatient they get, because everything is given to you and granted to you, and so you don't really do much. You don't go to the DMV. You don't go to the grocery store. You don't do anything. The dog walker, this, that, this. These people are impatient. They're richer than ever. These are toys. That's often the third or fourth thing they own. The equity has quadrupled in the last 5 or 10 years. They bought these franchises for $380 million, and they're now worth $6 billion. And it's a tough place to be. Owners have never been crazier, never been more impatient. They've never had more money. And I'm not saying Gail Benson is a bad owner. She has a reputation as a good owner. The Benson family were very supportive. It's the first thing that's happening, though. This is why a lot of these NFL guys are thinking about college or thinking about going into TV. It's crazy town. These owners are now crazy. The second thing that's happening is, and we've talked about this multiple times, quarterback always mattered in this league. But Andy Reid got to 5 NFC championships without a Hall of Fame quarterback. You could win a lot of games with a great running back, with a great defense. The last 4 coaches left are all offensive. Zach Taylor's one of the last 4 coaches. Belichick isn't. Pete Carroll finished in 4th place. Mike Tomlin's gone. Zach Taylor's in. Same division. If you don't have a quarterback... And right now, the Saints quarterback room is a hot mess. I mean, it's just all, they're paying Taysom Hill money. Jameis Winston doesn't work. Ian Book's a nice kid, but limited. It's a mess. And Sean's like, I can't win with this. I mean, Andy Reid, in today's game, moved off Alex Smith. Alex Smith was a winning quarterback. He's like, yeah, there's limitations on. And this has been going on for about 6 years now, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And finally this year, the best quarterback won every division in the NFC. Every single playoff team had an offensive coach, if not for the AFC East, which has all defensive coaches. 7 of 8 divisions won by an offensive coach. All the rules are offense. So Sean Payton's like, I can't win. I can't win with this. And I think it's smart. So a lot of people are writing about the Cowboy job. Now, could Jerry Jones write a $125 million check, $25 million a year for the next 5 years? Jerry's getting close to 80 years old. He may be getting impatient. Absolutely, that could happen. But I am told by people I trust, it is TV1, TV2, and TV3. And by the way, in regards to his quarterback room, last year, as you watched it, and he was struggled with it, he even acknowledged his quarterback room last year. He tried to add another quarterback.
I thank Drew and his wife, Brittany, and their family. I spoke to him at length last night about this decision for the first time, and he was fantastic. And I did call him during the season, and we discussed him coming back. And I think both of us agreed, based on our lineup versus Miami, it was a good thing he stayed. And didn't come.
So he would tell you how much he loved the quarterbacks there. He wanted Drew Brees. He wanted 40-year-old broadcaster Drew Brees in the quarterback room. So expect him near a TV set, near you, actually, in the very near future. All right. You know what magicians do, right? Magicians have the card over here, and then they make you look over to the right. Look over here, and then they make the card disappear, and they do their magic trick over here. It's all about distraction and illusion for a magician. Aaron Rodgers should be a magician. He's very good at that. So Aaron's right hand is the one that has the football, and that's the one that got scared in the playoff game and played fearful and wasn't daring and scored 3 points at home as a number one seed. That's the right hand. Aaron yesterday talked to the media. He wanted you to look over the left hand. Aaron said, quote, everybody was rooting against us because of my anti-vaccine stance. Lot of people are rooting against me. They were tuning in, rooting against me. That's the left hand over here. Look over here. I'm the victim. Over here. No, Aaron, I want to pay attention to the right arm. Because this weekend, Joe Burrow was more daring than you. And Patrick Mahomes was more daring. And Matt Stafford was more daring. I don't want to look at you, the victim. Don't try to fool me with all the victim stuff. The right hand is the one to worry about, not the left, not the everybody hates me. Do some people root against Aaron because of his vaccine status? Yeah, I mean, the internet, Twitter is just a toilet. 22% of America's on Twitter. It's not real life. People say awful things to me on Twitter. I've been in this business 30 years. People come up to me in real life and are the sweetest, nicest, kindest, smartest, most thoughtful people. I've never had anybody say anything nice to me on Twitter. Of course, I'm embellishing, but we all know the game on Twitter. It's not real life. It's anonymous. And everybody, you know, when you don't know who they are, they get out their frustration, their misery in life. They take it out on you. Overwhelmingly, people were not rooting against the Green Bay Packers. They have fans all over the place. Aaron's fun to watch. Aaron drives me nuts. I've been the most critical Aaron Rodgers critic in the American sports media. There is no second place. This, he doesn't like me. He's told people he doesn't like me. He goes on rival shows to, we don't see eye to eye. But he's great for football. He's a villain. I think this right here is the classic, oh, everybody's rooting. I don't care about the left hand and the vax crap. I don't care. I'm not a mandate guy. But I do think the right hand's fascinating. You watched all these games. You saw how Stafford and Burrow and Allen and Mahomes, how poised they were. Getting sacked under duress. Stafford's team was melting. Burrow got sacked 9 times. Mahomes and Allen, they were these young, mostly young, Stafford's older, these young, daring, risk-taking, coachable quarterbacks. And Aaron was the, and Garoppolo's limited, but he didn't play safe. Garoppolo's totally limited. He was throwing the ball right down the middle. I thought the fascinating thing about the weekend was, I keep being told how great Aaron is. He played fearful. He played scared. He played without trust. That's the right hand. That's the hand I care about. If you want to play victim, it's not my cup of Joe, man. I'm not. I talk about this all the time to my kids. We have granite countertops. I don't. And crown molding. There's no victims in the house. We're fine. And I don't think Aaron's a victim. And I don't think everybody was rooting against him. But I do think if Aaron goes on Twitter and reads it, people are awful. But they're awful to Joy. They're probably worse to Joy than me because she'll fight with them and I just ignore them. They're awful to me. They're awful to everybody. In real life, people aren't. If you ran into Aaron Rodgers at a supermarket, you'd ask for a selfie. The same guy that's hating him. And I do think Twitter tends to be, the media tends to lean left my entire life. It's more left than it used to be. And now you can see how far they lean left. And they get a little dogmatic on the whole mask and vaccine thing. Again, NFL did not have a mandate. It just made it tougher if you weren't vaccinated. That said, I don't really care. Aaron's good for my business. But this feels like, look over here. I don't want to. I want to look over there. Because what I saw was a quarterback I've been assured by all the experts is the great quarterback talent of my generation. And he wasn't as good as Burrow, and he wasn't as good as Mahomes. He wasn't close to Josh Allen. And frankly, Matt Stafford now with a legitimate culture, he wasn't as good as Matt Stafford. I don't want to hear it's 0 degrees. I don't want to hear it was 0 degrees the week before for Josh Allen against New England, wasn't it? He threw for, they had 7 straight touchdowns. It was 0 degrees in Buffalo. I don't want to hear about the weather. It's an advantage for Aaron Rodgers. So, Aaron, I know you can host Jeopardy. I know you're an actor. I know you do commercials. I know you do quarterback. But I don't need you to be a magician. I'm not going to pay attention to the victimhood on the left hand. I want to pay attention to what I saw on the right hand, which is a gifted quarterback that played fearfully, played cautiously, and didn't trust teammates not named Devontae Adams. That is what I want to talk about. That hand.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Sean Payton stepped down. That means there's 9 coaching openings in the NFL. It's crazy. That's 28% of the league. It is kind of remarkable who's getting interviewed and who isn't. I see some of these guys getting interviewed. They've either been coaches, had losing records, they're coordinators. I just want to remind everybody that Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl and beat Belichick with Nick Foles. He's still unemployed. Jim Caldwell had 5 of 6 winning seasons in Indianapolis and got to the playoffs twice with the Lions. And Jason Garrett coached for 9.5 years, had 1 losing season and 3 division titles. I don't think Jason Garrett's even being interviewed. Call me nutty, but if you've won in the league as a proven head coach, I'd probably get Jim Caldwell, and I think he may get the Bears job. He's an offensive guy, too. Jason Garrett's an offensive guy. Doug Peterson's an offensive guy. I see these defensive coordinators getting a second chance to coach, and I'm like, what are we doing here? I think Jason Garrett, Jim Caldwell, and Doug Peterson would be boom, boom, boom. But Sean Payton is stepping down. And let's be honest about it. The last 5 years for the Saints have been crazy town. So in 2017, they lost the Minneapolis Miracle, which is one of the craziest finishes in the history of the NFL. In 2019, it was the loss to the Rams on that non-pass interference call. The following year, he lost to the Vikings again in overtime in the playoffs. In 2020, he beat the Bucs twice handily in the regular season, then lost in the playoffs. That's frustrating. And then this year, they had 4 to 5 quarterbacks. Michael Thomas, the $100 million receiver. I've told you about this yesterday. Something's not right in that relationship. It's beyond injuries. And they had to relocate because of a hurricane to Dallas. It's just been 5 years of a lot of tumult and a lot of turbulence. And he's got his legacy, a new wife, a great life. And I think it's really time for him to do it. I mean, it's just time to recharge. He's 58. He looks great. But he talked about yesterday the opportunity of coaching again if it presents itself.
I don't know what's next. I don't like the word retirement. Mr. B didn't like it either. He always said, you know, retirement's overrated. I still have a vision for doing things in football. And I'll be honest with you, that might be coaching again at some point. I don't think it's this year. I think maybe in the future, but that's not where my heart is right now.
A lot of times people hold press conferences and they're vague because they have to be for legal reasons. A couple times he was vague yesterday, but he was pretty honest as well. Here's what I'm going to tell you. He's going to go into broadcasting first, and then he will return, I believe, to coaching. The salaries are going through the roof. He has no reason to take any job that isn't perfect. Now, the Raiders have Derek Carr, so that's pretty good, but the ownership situation's not great, and it's a tough division. And the Cowboys have Dak Prescott, and he would make him better, but Dak Prescott is not Mahomes or Burrow or Rodgers or Stafford or... It's not perfect. There's no perfect job. And they do exist. Green Bay had an opening with a great roster, good front office, and Aaron Rodgers. They do exist. So they're out there. They don't happen often, but they do exist. There's no reason for Sean Payton not to do television, make money, have fun, be engaged, and then cherry pick in 3 or 4 years or 2 years. Still wouldn't count out Dallas.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byard. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So Aaron Rodgers talked again yesterday, but I just want to throw this out. There's a saying in the NFL that once you start talking about retirement, it's right around the corner. I was told yesterday that Sean Payton, I was told by somebody who knows Sean really well, he started talking about retirement about a year ago. Threw it out there. In fact, Sean Payton said yesterday, you know, Mr. Benson says retirement's overrated. So he talked about it clearly with the owner. And then he retires, at least for the short term, coaching. So Aaron Rodgers, this piece of video is from August.
I felt going into the weekend before camp that I was 50-50. Yes, I don't care if people don't believe that. I mean, that's true. There were some things that got me to 50-50 for sure. And, you know, I spent a couple of days in silence and meditation and contemplation and really felt like that I should come back.
And now here's Aaron Rodgers talking about retirement in December.
I don't want to misinterpret what you said yesterday, but you sounded to me like a guy that you're definitely not going to retire after this season. You're going to play next year. It's a question of whether it's here or somewhere else. Is that also accurate?
Yeah. Well, thanks for letting me clarify that. I wouldn't rule that out.
You know, I think that I'm just enjoying this season for this season. Playing next year will definitely be in the thought process. One of the things that obviously, and you and I have talked about this over the years, wanting to not be a bum Thursday on the way out and to still be able to play, I think is important to me.
I wouldn't rule it out. And then yesterday, he talked about retirement again. Quote, I don't fear retirement. I felt that during the offseason. There's not any fear around it. The uncertainty is not unsettling at all. It's almost exciting thinking about what life is going to look like moving forward. Three times since August. This is what's interesting. I don't think he's going to retire, but I have no insight. I think he's too good. I think he has fun. I think he likes playing. But he likes us to know, and this is an Aaron thing, is I'm in control. I've got a very big, broad life with many interests, and I could retire at any point and be very happy. Brady's never had a problem saying, I like playing football way too much. I also think it's interesting that Favre and Rodgers, they've become the same guy. This is how it was with Favre at the end, talking about retirement, blah, blah, blah. But here's what to me is interesting. If Aaron didn't want to retire, but he wanted to play somewhere else, and you're a general manager, if you were the Denver Broncos, would you give up 4 first-round picks, 2 players for a guy that's 50-50? I don't think I would. Honestly. So, I mean, the thing about getting Aaron is he's got like 5 great years left, right? If you have a good O-line and protect him a little. But if a guy is 50-50, I'm not going all in on a guy that's 50-50. I got to be honest with you. I'm not sacrificing my future if you're not giving me my future. That's not attractive to me. Like, if the Pittsburgh Steelers are not a desperate franchise. Denver may be a little more desperate because of the quarterbacks in their division. But I don't think Pittsburgh's desperate. I could see Pittsburgh having a discussion and Tomlin and the Rooney family going, we had enough drama with Ben. And no thanks. I'm not giving up 5 first-round picks. So it's just, to me, this is another reason why Aaron's not leaving Green Bay. I think he's getting less attractive. When you watch this weekend and watch Burrow and Stafford and Mahomes and Allen and you hear the drama and the retirement, I don't think every GM in the NFL is as desperate as they were with Aaron. I really don't. Now, there's going to be always interest in guys who can play at that level. But, man, I'm going to tell you, folks, if you're forcing me as a general manager or an owner or a coach to give up 4 first-round picks, a starting corner, and you're not all in on it, I want some guarantees too. You got to give me some guarantees, don't you? A little? Again, don't think he's retiring. But he likes us to know that he could and he'd be very happy and doesn't need any of us or football.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
David Carr stops by his brother Derek, quarterback. But I watch David as well as Derek, NFL Network, super smart guy. I'll get to Derek in a second. I don't want to put you on the hot seat. As you know, if you've ever watched this show, which America loves, I don't know if you've heard, I love your brother. Let's start with this. What do you make? It is weird. You talk retirement a bunch. I'm sitting there. Forget me, the consumer. Yep. I'm sitting there as a GM thinking, brother, I ain't giving up 4 first rounds for a guy that's on the fence.
I get it.
It is something, isn't it?
Oh, very much something. And I think what it is at this point in any quarterback's career, as you get towards the end, especially guys that have as much success as Aaron has had, you get to the point where you want a chance to win a Super Bowl. Now, right. They've gone 3 straight years where they've won 13 games, and they have nothing to show for it. They have a frustrated quarterback and basically a frustrated fan base with that quarterback. You saw him when he was leaving the field at Lambeau the other day. He kind of just did the little wave, see you guys maybe later, maybe I won't. And they didn't care. I've talked to Packer fans that work in our studio at the NFL Network that have been long-time Packer fans,
yeah.
And they're fine with it. You know, I've talked about the different scenarios, what might happen. So you do have a great point, because you got to make sure Aaron is all in. And how you do that is you got to be Super Bowl ready if you're one of those teams. So, like, there's not a lot of teams that fit that billing that are Super Bowl ready that just need Aaron Rodgers to get over the hump. And then, man, that's a whole nother level, because now you're talking, like what you were talking about, is 4 first round picks. I mean, think about that. That's your entire future. And what if Aaron decides that he wants to try Jeopardy again? what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, so that's a real concern for sure.
You know, it was interesting. I was very happy. And I love LeBron and Nick Saban and Brady, but I get the fatigue. I was really happy for Matt Stafford because I've always believed this. With very few exceptions, maybe I think Aaron Donald would be great anywhere. You know, I think Trent Williams, he was great in Washington, and he's great in San Francisco.
Right.
Most of us, myself included, certainly, we're as good as our environment, the culture we're around, our bosses, our marketing. And I looked at Matt Stafford, and I was like, good for you, dude. And I got to tell you, David, I loved the last drive. It was a circus. The boat's taken in water. People are snapping the ball. And he made two huge throws. I loved that. And just take me to
isn't that what we've always loved about Matt, though? You know, how many Lions games do you really sit down and watch in the last couple of years? You know, but you'll watch it if they're close at the end because, you know, Matt's going to do something heroic. I mean, I remember when he got his ribs knocked out, you know, and he's still in there battling. It was the same scenario. I saw a clip on a social media platform where there was a Lions fan dressed in a Matt Stafford jersey going absolutely nuts in his living room for this guy. So I think people appreciate the fight that he has, the passion that he plays with. We know he's extremely talented. I think everybody's just happy that he's getting a chance to really play in a game that matters. And he is loving every minute of it. The chaos that you talk about when he's running down, trying to get everybody lined up to make sure they get this clock, the ball spiked so they can go ahead and win this football game. Loved every second of it. I've always been a huge Matt Stafford fan. I think if you just watch him play, he's great against pressure. In all the moments that you want a quarterback to be great in, he's great. And I think that that's why the Rams went out and did what they did, because they saw a guy that can take them to the next level. And here you are. You're right at the doorstep of playing in a Super Bowl in your own home stadium. It's because of number 9.
So we talked about this yesterday. And I've always been a Derek fan, your brother Derek Carr. And I've said this before. To me, he's been the life preserver of a chaotic mess for about the last 7 years. So when I hear criticism, I'm like, I think you guys got the... You're pointing the finger in the wrong direction. I thought he had a great year, and he wants Rich Bisaccia to be the coach. I totally get that. But I also worry, David, there's been a lot of interim guys that have worked, some that haven't, some like Wayne Fonts that have been good, not great. Mike Tice, Minnesota, they've been fine. So there is no absolute here. But Derek is so emotional, and he was in so many emotional games late. I do worry about falling in love with the proximity of the current coach. And what if there's somebody out there? I don't know if you've talked to him about this. What is best for your brother? What would you do if you own the Raiders?
Man, that's complicated. That's a great question, because when you look at it, and this is kind of, it's similar to what Aaron's going through. Although Derek's in a completely different world, he played in his first playoff game. There is a sense as a veteran quarterback and Derek, and talking to him, man, he went through an emotional roller coaster. They did about as good as you could do this year with what they were given, and they made it work. They're not that far away. If you could add a couple pieces, we all know one of his best friends is Davante Adams, and he possibly could not be franchise tagged, and we could see what happens there. But honestly, and this is not coming from Derek, this is coming from a NFL Network analyst, a guy that jumps on Colin's show and talks about football, talks about it with his friends. There has to be a commitment from the organization that they're going to give him what he needs to succeed. He only wants to win a Super Bowl. He's not here for the money. He's talked about hanging it up when John retired. And all of that stuff is, I want to win. That's it. At the end of the day, I want to win football games. He'd love to do it in Las Vegas, but he wants a chance to do it. He knows that there are pieces that you can put in place here. They're as close as they've ever been. They're right on the cusp. They got in the playoffs. They played against a team that's in the AFC Championship, in their stadium, battled down to the wire. They're right there. They need some pieces. They need to see from the Raiders that there's commitment there. We talk about it a lot with the Raiders. We talk about commitment to excellence. Al Davis preached it. That needs to happen because I can't guarantee that Derek is going to want to sign up for that if it's going to be the same thing that he's done over the last 7 or 8 years. I can't guarantee that. Knowing my brother. Now, he hasn't said anything to me. I just have conversations openly, talk candidly about it, about their situation, about who they could bring in. And it's not that I see him at a point where he doesn't believe that they'll do it. he just really wants to see who the new GM is going to be. He wants why he picks Rich. Why he likes Rich is because he knows who Rich is.
Yeah.
Rich and him have great conversations, and he likes the fact that he was with him through all that chaos, through the nonsense of that last year, and they were able to do something productive. So you can take Rich and let him be the figurehead. You can keep Gus, keep a lot of those guys he brought over from the Chargers. Think about a lot of the free agents they have. Casey Hayward ain't going to stay there if Gus Bradley's not there. There's a lot of guys that aren't going to stay there if Gus is not there. So that's a revamped defense. That's a whole new look. What happens on the offensive side? We know that they struggle a little bit on the right tackle, right guardish side. Alex Leatherwood moved from tackle to guard. A lot of things have to be fixed, right? So there's a lot of decisions that have to be made. And, you know, Mark Davis isn't the only one that has to make them.
You know, it's a very thoughtful answer. David, we always knew quarterback mattered in this league.
Yeah.
But the best quarterback won every division. Every division. Yep. In the NFC, every playoff team had an offensive coach. And you got to look at this sometimes and think, man, I was born a little early on this stuff because it is.
all the time.
And I look at this, but it is interesting. As I watched the Bills and the Chiefs and marveled at it, I thought, if Belichick and Sean McDermott can't stop anybody, is there an argument to be made? We don't want to become the CFL, and that we want to,
right.
You know, the NFL's done a very good job, David, you know this, of pivoting rules all the time. Do you feel it a little bit now? It's almost, it maybe needs to be tweaked a little more back the other way.
I completely see where you're coming from, because we all sat there, and when Josh Allen called tails and they lost the toss, we all knew what was going to happen. You know, you pretty much knew. Well, and Josh, even you look at him on the sideline, sitting on that warm bench. He knew. He's seen his face. He's just sitting back like, we can't stop him, you know? So, you know, you can say play better defense. You're playing against space aliens. These quarterbacks aren't real life. Like, these are two of the most impressive performances that we've ever seen in a playoff run. I mean, Josh Allen had 12 incomplete passes and 9 touchdowns in the playoffs, and he's at home. So, I mean, that's crazy to me. So when you say, yeah, you have to tweak it, you might. I mean, even Andy Reid. Even at least Andy Reid said, maybe Josh Allen should have got the ball. Maybe he should have got a chance there. Said that yesterday. So I think that we're at a point where the rules are so geared towards the offense. I mean, if you just breathe on the quarterback, we saw Brady lose his mind for Von Miller just barely glance. I can show you a highlight reel of me getting whacked. I think I'm owed at least 1,000 penalty yards somewhere in my career. So it's a different game. It's offensive driven. Obviously that sells tickets. That's exciting. We love what we saw the other day, but you know, as well as I do, they'll steer the ship back the other direction if they have to, and it might be getting close.
Yeah. What a pleasure to see you, David. You look fantastic. Continued success. Do I have anything here to pump? Hold on a second. Go to @dcar8. And this Sunday, they have a special 6-hour edition of NFL Game Day Morning, 9 a.m. Eastern on the NFL Network and our friends there. As always, you always answer our calls, and not everybody does. I have that effect on some people. Good seeing you, buddy.
All right, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
When Sean McVay got Matt Stafford, one of the things he has talked about, sometimes privately, I'm told, but now publicly, is about the high emotional bandwidth of Matt Stafford. And we really saw it on display the other day. The whole frickin' team was melting down, and Stafford had this emotional bandwidth and this discipline, and it's a real thing. It's interesting on – there's one or two things I think about in my career, not to bore you, so I'll be real quick. One, don't get in the way of myself. I work hard. I'm a good person. I'm talented. Don't get in your own way. I think Aaron Rodgers sometimes gets in his own way. Brady doesn't. Secondly, is be optimistic. Because cynical, it's hard to be successful being cynical, because life presents you with so many obstacles and problems. If you do not believe instantly you can solve them, you can talk yourself into a crappy effort, not putting in the time, a defeatist attitude. Very few cynical billionaires. So I think about these things all the time. And they all really come down to decision-making. And it's really interesting. James Harden came out yesterday And James Harden said, I don't like Brooklyn much, and I'm not happy. And I've said this before. What makes LeBron James so great? Now, obviously, there are physical gifts that he has that are next level, a dimension many have not had. But I know LeBron, I would say close with two of his allies. They're people that I like a lot and have had lunch or dinner from time to time and really like them. And they're really, really smart, curious people. LeBron makes just better decisions. And he was in Cleveland and he said, okay, I'm gonna make a move. And he chose Pat Riley, Dwayne Wade, Eric Spoelstra, Mickey Arison, the owner. Like, that's a good decision. That's championship DNA. And then he's like, I don't like how I'm being viewed as a villain. I'm going to go solve that and rehab my image. He goes back to Cleveland, and smartly, he's like, I don't want Andrew Wiggins. I want veterans. I'm going to rehab Kyrie's game and give me Kevin Love. That's really smart. A lot of people would have taken the young guy. He didn't. And he's like, okay, I rehab my image. I won. I mean, the second time he left Cleveland, they weren't even really upset. There was no burning of jerseys. And then the third time, LeBron's like, okay, I'm going to go to L.A. I don't like the roster, but this is where I got to do business. I got a young son that wants to play basketball. They got a great L.A. is the place to be for all that stuff. For my family, I'm going to go move to L.A. His net worth has almost doubled in the time he's been in Los Angeles. He came here, he's worth about $400 million. LeBron's worth about $900 million now. And it could be more depending on what his company sells for. And they won a championship and he got AD there. So LeBron makes good decisions. Or in other words, he doesn't get in his own way. This is what confounds me with the Brooklyn Nets and why I've been I just don't buy it. It's too many things. So Kevin Durant chose Kenny Atkinson over Steve Kerr as a coach, a championship culture over a culture, Silicon Valley, no thanks, I'm moving to Brooklyn, and Kyrie over Steph. What the hell? I didn't like his decisions. I love his game. I didn't like James Harden's decisions. I'm not going to work out. I'm going to get heavy and force my way out of Houston. And then join Kyrie. Have you watched the league? And then Kyrie's decision was, I'm not going to get vaxxed, and everybody will be okay with it. Now we know they're not, and I'll only be available for half the games. Kyrie, KD, and Harden are brilliant basketball players. I mean, three of the top five or six offensive players in the game. They're absolutely brilliant players. I would love to have Harden or Kevin Durant and my friend. If I owned a franchise, those are two of the first five, six guys I'd want. They're great players. Kyrie, you can have him. But it's just important for anybody listening. It's something I obsess over all the time in my little world. Don't get in your own way. I think Kevin Durant and Aaron Rodgers, two all-time remarkable gifted athletes and smart guys, sometimes get in their own way.